Got another great day. I am teaching out of Psalm 37 today, which is another psalm by David. And I have titled it as The Heritage in Righteousness versus the Heritage in the Wicked. In the first verse, it states, "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong." Fret in the Hebrew means to grieve, be in trouble, displeased, cease from anger, or forsaken wrath. So you see, it's a very strong word that Lord is speaking to us, not to grieve or not to be feeling in trouble, or we need to cease from our anger and forsake our wrath, because God is the one who is the judge, and I need to remember that. Anyhow, in verse 2, it says, "For like the grass, they will soon wither, and like green plants, they will soon die away." The workers of iniquity, which is in King James, the new version, in Proverbs 24, verse 19 and 20, it states this: "Do not fret because of evil, or be envious of the wicked." We have to realize that there's no future for the wicked, and their lamp will be snuffed out, like the virgins, the 10 virgins, with only 5 that didn't have enough oil. Well, this is what the wicked, they don't have any oil. In often the wicked are enraged and curse God. And I think there may have been some times where we have actually cursed God. And certainly we have to repent. Like today, many are cursing God. They're attacking the churches and attacking Christians, and that is going to increase in the next years. Sometimes I curse the evil people, the president, the Senate, Congress, and the many wicked judges. But the Lord always convicts me and says, "Who is the judge?" He says, "I am the judge." So I'm not only praying for their salvation, but I'm praying that the evil one who's driving their wickedness will be destroyed. And I pray that the high places in Washington, D.C. will be destroyed, because that is what is running Washington, D.C. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Rely is also another word for trust. We need to have complete abandonment towards the Lord, that he might live through us and bring life to those around us. To do good, the definition in Hebrew is pleasing, desirable, quality, moral goodness. God wants to have us live in moral goodness, to do what is pleasing to him. He wants to have us live a life that is pleasing, acceptable, and desirable to God. And he wants us to walk in uprightness and have confidence in him. We need to feed securely in Jesus. And truly be fed by him. And we need to rest in the pastures and allow him to rule over all our concerns. In verse 4 and 5, it says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this." In verse 4, he gives us the desires and the secret petition. Well, he hears the desires and secret petitions of our heart. In verse, in Psalm 21, in verse 2, it states, "You have granted his heart's desire and not withhold the requests of his lips." So this is our Lord and God, that whatever we pray, God hears us and he desires to fill us and to put us in green pastures that we might delight in him and that he might give us the desires of our heart as long as they are in line with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 145:19 says, "He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them." So this is, again, a promise to us that he will fulfill our desires, but we have to fear him with that awesome, reverent fear. That we have to walk in humility and see those that are around us with his vision and see the deep wound in their hearts that they're longing for Jesus. In verse 5, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your life, your journey to the Lord." In Proverbs 16:3, it says, and this is the Amplified, "Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed." Isn't that awesome? You know, as we give our cares and burdens onto the Lord, he causes our thoughts to be agreeable with his thoughts. And he then establishes our plans and we succeed in him, not in ourselves, but in him. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path." So we have to trust in the Lord, and he will direct our paths wherever he wants to take us. And that'll be in places that we may not want to go, but if we trust in him, he will lead us through those valleys. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, 24, in the end of, excuse me, verse 5, it says, "He will do this." So if you look at 1 Thessalonians 5, in the verse 24, it states, "The one who calls you, excuse me, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Excuse me. Then in verse 6, it says, commit to God and give him, and he gives us, I should say, righteousness, and he rewards us and vindicates us. know that he is faithful and that we can rely on him. Righteousness is a reward, and vindication both refer to the manifestation of God's favor on those he chooses to bless and deliver. These terms are linked to light. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. So we need to learn how to rest in the Lord. That's to be still, is to rest. In Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight you for you. You need only to be still. So often we end up trying to fight the battles that are within our lives, whether it be depression or pride or anxiety or worry or fear or outside enemies that hate us because we're Christians. God tells us to rest. Just rest in me. We need to wait patiently and wholly lean on the Lord. Do not worry when the wicked succeed or when the wicked prosper in their schemes. For I am the Lord and I will do it. I will cause you to know my ways and to seek my face. And I will accomplish what I desire. In verse 9 and 10, for those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though they look for them, they will not be found. The evil tries to destroy us, and they are destroyed by their wickedness. And they are gone, but the righteous are rewarded. The wicked are cut off. And they will no longer be. Now, I know we'd like to see the wicked cut off right now, but God has his perfect plan, and we need to stand in his presence and allow him to flow forth through us that we might bring life to those that are in darkness, those that are wicked. And for those who trust and wait and hope in the Lord will have blessings and they will inherit the land. In Matthew, and we got to go to the next verse. In Matthew, excuse me, in Psalm 37, 11, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Matthew 5:5, it says, the humble excuse me, the blessed are meek, for they will inherit the earth. In other words, the humble have to completely depend on God, his goodness and his grace. In verse 12 through 15, the wicked plot against the righteous. They gnash their teeth at them, at the righteous. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. And the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way are upright. But their sword will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Going back to the word wicked, it means malicious, maliciously mocking people. And gnashing their teeth, they try to destroy all those that are righteous. And they bring down the poor and the needy. And if you look at our society today, there's so much of that where those that are arrogant or pride or love money, they look down on the people underneath them, and they treat the poor and the needy with wickedness. And that's what's happening in Washington, D.C. as well, and then across the nation in all the major cities and in the judges of our land. We are really dealing with a deep moral crisis in this country. The Lord laughs at the wicked because there is a day of destruction coming for them. In verse 14 and 15, it says that the wicked draw their sword and bend their bow to destroy the poor and needy and the righteous. But thanks be to God, he destroys the wicked. He pierces their hearts. In Proverbs 30, 14, it states this. Those whose teeth are swords, whose jaws are set with knives, to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among mankind. So that is the intent of the wicked, but thanks be to God that we have Jesus Christ living in our hearts, that we have the confidence and that we have God's strength and his wisdom, and that we can conquer the evil. In verse 16 and 17, it says, better the little that have little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. It's better for the righteous to have little than the abundance of possessions of the wicked. And those of us that have many possessions need to surrender them to the Lord and ask him to use those possessions through us to bring other ministries and to give and build them up so we might spread the gospel throughout Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the whole nation, and the whole world. In Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, it states this, but godliness and contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It is important that we realize, and I need to go back to Psalm 37. Let's see. The power of the wicked will be broken in verse 17. It also can mean that the arm of the wicked are broken. God upholds, in other words, in Hebrews, it says, sustained, strengthened, and refreshed the righteous. So he desires to uplift us, to sustain us, to strengthen us, to refresh us. And that is part of our heritage as children of God. Then verse 18 and 19 says this: the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In the days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. In verse 20, the enemies, oops, sorry, I gotta go up to 18. The blameless under God's care, and they have the inheritance of eternal life. They endure forever. In the Amplified Classic, in verse 18, the Lord knows of the upright and blameless, and their heritage will abide forever. So this is our promise to the righteous, that the Lord will uphold us. He will uphold the blameless, and he gives us a heritage, that heritage of heaven, and we will abide with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. In verse 19, it talks about the days of disaster. But in those days, the righteous will not sink. They will not fall back. They will not wither. They will not be shamed. As long as we stand in the Word of God and listen to the Holy Spirit, we can stand no matter what the circumstances are around us. Even in the time of famine, we will have plenty. The Lord will sustain us and provide us, and we will be satisfied. And okay, going down to verse 20 through 24, it says, but the wicked will perish, though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the fields. They will be consumed. They will not go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses with inheritance in the in to inherit or will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fail, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So in verse 20, the righteous, well, first of all, the overall of 2024 is the righteous will inherit the land, and the wicked will be destroyed and perish. In verse 20, the enemies are like a field of flowers. They're burned up and consumed. They vanish like smoke. In verse 21, the righteous are very gentle and the wicked are stingy. That means they have to borrow and they cannot repay. In verse 22, the righteous will inherit the land. And that it goes out throughout the Psalm of 37. It's in verse 3, verse 9, verse 11, verse 22, verse 27, verse 29, and verse 30. So God is really emphasizing David is being used of God. And God is speaking through David and emphasizing that we will inherit the land, or we will inherit the earth. And we obviously will inherit the kingdom of God. And when the second coming comes, well, after, I should say, after the 1,000 years, and we will inherit land and we will be rulers over land. So Matt is looking way into the future. Okay. Okay, then looking at verse 23 and 24, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, let's stop at that, at 24. But we, as Christians, do often stumble because of pride, because of selfishness, because of envy, because of being judgmental and critical spirit, and of anger. And these are just a few. But when we confess our sins unto God, God does not let us fall. Although in my times of depression, I think I fell a lot. But every time I went through a period, God would pick me up and come out of the depression, and he would always give me new revelation, and I would grow deeper into him. Yeah, when you're in depression, you're consumed by self and self-pity. So you really have a hard time seeing God. But in those periods of time, I held on to just one strand of Jesus's robe, and he knew that I was trusting in him, even though my life didn't look like I was trusting in him. In verse 24, okay, though we have fallen, we have not ever been destroyed. When we've been utterly cast down, as it says in the Amplified Classic, God is still always there to pick us up. In verse 25, I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. We were once young and now we're old, but we have never been forsaken. We have not been abandoned or deserted or rejected. And we, as children seeking God, have never lacked any provision. In verse 26, 27, and 28, turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell forever. In verse 25, we did that already. 26, the righteous and generous lend freely, and their children are blessed. I think of the words that were spoken in the Bible that the righteous will pass on to generation, onto, I think it's the fifth generation, but I think it goes further than that. And I know that in my own family, my great-great-grandfather was a Christian, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my dad was a very strong Christian. I'm a Christian, my two daughters are Christian. I still need to pray for my son, and that's to be kept under wraps. You don't want that to get out. He does believe in Jesus, but he hasn't committed his life to him. So when we turn from evil and do good, we then dwell securely in the land. And in verse 28, faithful saints are not abandoned, or but those that are wrongdoers and the wicked are destroyed and perish. Verse 30 and 31, the mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of the Lord is in their hearts, and their feet do not slip. So the wisdom, so in wisdom, the law of God is in our hearts if we seek Him. The righteous and the just will speak truth, and God's law is in our hearts. Our feet are steady, and so we step steadily and do not slip. Okay, I'm going to skip down to the last because I'm over time. The last two verses, 39 and 40, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in Him. God is our salvation, our deliverer, our righteousness. God is our stronghold, our fortress, our protector in the time of trouble. And in Psalm 46:1 in the Amplified, it talks about He's mighty and impenetrable. He delivers us from the wicked and keeps us from harm. He is our refuge. God is our Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, Righteousness, Stronghold, Fortress, Refuge, and given promise, and has given us the promise of eternal life in heaven. Should we not proclaim the good news of the gospel to the wicked, the broken, the weak, the immoral, the arrogant, the proud, and those that are consumed with power and money? Amen.